Prologue. The storm arrives. Virulent green mist rose from the damp soil of the Gaia Tract Fen, choking the air and all but blinding those who toiled within its reach. Lord Grelch, master of the Gaia tribe, scooped an errant tendril of mist towards his disease-ravaged face with bloated paws, inhaling it. It burned pleasingly as it seeped into his lungs and blistered mouth. He gave a sigh of deep satisfaction.
"Tastes like death," he murmured, to no one in particular.
Grelch sat midway up a slabbed pile of stone steps, which climbed upwards to the edge of a steep cliff. The steps ended at an arch, shrouded in clinging vines, its capstones cracked and shot through with roots thicker around than his thigh. He shifted the long-hafted plague axe lying across his lap and turned to eye the archway suspiciously. He had fought long and hard to lay claim to this patch of forest and the archway, but even now he wasn't entirely sure why. Stories clustered fast and thick about those stones like flies. The grandfather's eye was upon this place, though. His great hand had stirred the nearby Rotwater swamp, casting a dense and fetid fog across the fen, and this part of it in particular. The sky was as black as the boils on his backside, and the once green leaves of the now withered trees were covered in sticky, dripping moisture that was not dew. Fertile soil had been reduced to damp sludge by the tread of his warriors, and the waters of the rivers had grown stagnant and pleasingly foul. The men of the Gaia tribe had long ago given themselves over to the tender mercies of Grandfather Nurgle, and they carried his blessings with them wherever they went. They warped the land about them into more pleasing shapes, reminiscent of the grandfather's garden. Smacking his lips, he gazed down from his perch and watched as his slaves wriggled through the muck and mist, dragging heavy stones towards the points their overseers indicated with lash and blade. The stones were covered in carvings dedicated to the glory of Grandfather Nurgle. Each one was a prayer given physical form, and together they would form a silent chorus, calling to the grandfather in his garden, calling him and his children to the green glades. Grelch sighed in satisfaction. From where he sat, the slaves looked like maggots wriggling in spoiled meat.
"Speaking of which,"
Grelch grunted, inspecting the mottled flesh of his forearm. The cut he'd received a few days earlier had sprouted squirming white shapes, which nibbled enthusiastically at his rotten flesh. He smiled indulgently.
"Eat hearty, little ones. Soon you'll be proper flies and no mistake," he crooned,
as he playfully stirred the maggots with a finger. The wound ached, but it was a small price to pay. Grandfather Nurgle never gave a man more blessings than he could bear, sure as sure, and Grelch was happy to serve in even this smallest of ways. He sat back, feeling cheerful. Yes, he was happy to serve. And why not? After all, it was an honour to be here. The ragged banners of the blessed and fly-blown jutted from every horizon, even as noisome fogs and vast clouds of insects swarmed across the land. The drone of a billion flies accompanied the efforts of Grandfather's own, the Glotkin, Torglug the Despised, Gutrot Spume, and the mangy Beast Lord Gluhack, amongst others, as they strove to bring the bilious blessings of the garden to Gyron. That wasn't even taking into account the scuttling servants of the Horned Rat, where they crouched in the Rotwater Blight. And Grelch as well, most powerful of those born here in these filthy climes, Grelch thought. Let the others, like that nitwit's Gradablob, or brutes like Torglug and Gotrut Spume, scramble about in the filthy green glades, hunting the witch Alariel and getting themselves ambushed by Nurgle alone knew what. Grandfather had sent three captains to find her, for without her, there could be no lasting victory for Nurgle. He flexed his wounded arm and remembered the talon-like branch, whipping forward faster than his roomy eyes could follow to lay open his flesh to the pitted bone. It hadn't hurt. His sense of pain had been one of his first offerings to the grandfather. He remembered, too, the fierce green hatred burning in the eyes of the monstrous bark creature as it had smashed him back on his heels before he'd driven the rusty edge of his axe into its creaking maw. They'd used what was left of it and its fellows for kindling the witch fires that now burned about Gaiatract Fen, providing an eerie light for the slaves to work by.
Let's see Spume do that, the kraken-bellied oath,
Grouch thought. A baleful drone suddenly echoed through the trees, causing the fetid air to quiver like a frightened animal. Grouch's eyes popped open, and he turned, all thoughts of gardens forgotten. It was the dirge horn, originally hewn from the skull of the great plague beast Brontos by Beastlord Gluhak, the crusted blade, a feat it never stopped barking about. The dirge horn had been hollowed out and consecrated to Grandfather, and now sat atop profane Tor. Its whining call, sluggish and flat, could be heard even in the Grandfather's garden. Someone, somewhere in the vast woodlands that stretched from the Shimmer Tarn to Gaiatract Fen, had found some sign of the radiant queen, Alariel. Like hounds on the scent, the other disparate warbands, searching for places such as this archway, would follow the winding echo of the dirge horn to wherever it led. At the same moment the sky darkened, grey turning to black. The snap of whips slowed and fell silent, as slaves and slavers alike found their eyes drawn upwards to the roiling clouds. Grouch felt his stomach lurch, and not in the usual pleasing fashion. A moment later, the air was split by a sound greater even than the dirge horn, a crack of thunder which reverberated through the trees and even his bones, deafening him. He slapped his hands to his ears, teeth gritted against the pain of it. Instinctively, he cast his gaze up and saw the black sky rupture, torn apart by fangs of crackling azure light. Bolts of twin-tailed lightning struck the ground again and again, splitting the air and searing the fog away. The ground bucked and heaved, and his warriors and slaves were tossed about like sparks from an anvil as the hammer struck. Trees burst into flame, and sluggish rivulets of mud were burned dry. The air tasted of iron and clean winds, and Grouch gagged at the stink of it. As the smoke cleared, he saw rank upon rank of armoured warriors standing where each skyborn bolt had struck. Crackling chains of lightning crawled across their masks and the heads of the great warhammers they carried. It danced along the rims of their shields and illuminated the awful sigils which marked their armour. He felt as if something fearful had come, fiercer even than the bark beasts, and he shoved himself to his feet, snatching up his helm from where it sat on the steps beside him. His heart thudded in his chest as he began to descend. Few dared defy the Gaia tribe since he'd earned Grandfather's favour, and fewer still had ever mustered the courage to attack them head-on. Whoever they were, they would be good sport, if nothing else.
"And they're all ours, my warriors," he roared. "To battle!"
His warriors roared in reply and hurled themselves towards the interlopers, scattering untrammelled slaves aside. His chosen warriors, his sons and cousins and brothers, putrid Blight Kings all, led the way towards the centre of the invaders' battle line. Grouch's heart swelled as the battle was joined. This was the way it was supposed to be. The newcomers had numbers on their side, but his warriors were swollen with the strength of Nurgle. He'd led his folk into the garden and pledged a glopsome oath to Grandfather Nurgle, offering service and souls in return for protection and power. And he'd fought to earn those protections, fought hard or harder than his rivals, performing deeds of valour. It was Grouch who had tamed the toad dragon, Gabloch, and Grouch who had poisoned the sweet water.
"You did indeed, my servant,"
something burbled in his head. The voice was like an itch at the back of his skull, painful but welcome. It gurgled and slopped across the surface of his thoughts. As if they too had heard it, the maggots in his arm suddenly stiffened and began to move in strange ways, causing his flesh to ripple and pulse. Grelch stopped and looked up towards his prize. There was an oily sheen in the air at the top of the steps, and he could hear faint buzzing, as of thousands of flies.
"Master," he whispered, "are you near?"
The din of the battle below seemed to fade as the voice of his master filled his skull. Out of the corner of his eye, he could see his warriors coming to grips with the closest of the newcomers. Fat-bellied Blight Kings hacked at gleaming shields with notched axes, only to reel back as lightning-wreathed hammers struck them in return. But though they stumbled, his chosen refused to fall. Their seared flesh congealed and repaired itself, as Grandfather willed, and they lurched back into the fight.
"Yet still sadly far, my servant," his master replied. "My Rotguard and I come as fast as the winds of play can carry me, but you must open the door and let me in. Hurry, Grouch, I would wallow in the murk of the Gyatrak Fen, taste the sweet heart of the Green Glades, and wade in the Shimmertan. Hurry, my servant, pile the stones and spill the blood. Open the gates to Grandfather's garden."
The voice faded, and Grouch let out a shaky breath. The clangor of battle grew loud once more, the air filling with screams and the rattle of weapons. The voice of his master, his mentor, was proof enough of Grandfather's favour. Why else would such an enormity as his master deign to speak with him, and so kindly?
"Don't worry, Master. There's plenty of blood to go around," he said out loud.
He looked out over the fen and saw the silver ranks of newcomers stalk forward with ground-shaking strides, their wide shields locked rim to rim. They resembled nothing so much as a gleaming wall, and he felt a hint of unease as they drew closer to the slope and the steps. But their march slowed as his chosen warriors interposed themselves once more, crying out the name of Grandfather Nurgle as they sought to break the shield wall. Once his warriors had finished off these shiny-skinned interlopers, he'd have them gutted and squeezed to fertilize the stones and open the garden gate. He closed his eyes, reveling in the thought of it. Long had he yearned to see Grandfather's garden again, in all its pestilential splendour. Now, at last, his chance had come round. A little blood, a little death, and it would be done. However, his good humour evaporated quickly as he plodded down the steps, axe in hand. His chosen warriors had never before been bested in battle, yet these newcomers smashed them aside more quickly than he'd thought possible. Warriors bloated with the blessings of the Plague Father were driven to their knees by hammer strikes that crushed armor and tore flesh as easily as any axe or sword. Every blow was accompanied by a snarl of lightning and the thud of a smoking body as it struck the ground. As Grelch made his way down the last few steps, he saw that his men had become disorganized, save for a few chieftains around whom the cannier warriors rallied. The rest charged in knots and dribbles, alone or in small packs, and were ground under by the silver-armoured retinues of the newcomers. The latter had formed themselves into an impenetrable shield wall, rim to rim and edge to edge. Shields dipped and hammers shot out to strike and return as the shields rose once more with a discipline completely alien to Grelch's experience. The silver warriors moved as one, clearing themselves a bloody path towards the stone steps and the arch, and right towards him. He raised his axe in welcome and lumbered to meet them. Some of his followers rose, even after they had been battered bloody or hacked apart, as the great rents in their obese frames scabbed over and their severed limbs regrew. But that wasn't enough, and soon they fell a second time. The weapons of the enemy were too deadly, even for those in whose veins the blessings of Nurgle ran. Grelch moved more quickly now, lumbering towards the forefront of the battle. If he could rally his troops, they might still stand a chance. However, That hope dwindled as he saw the last of his chieftains fall to a great mauling blow from one of those deadly hammers, crushing its horned helm into an unrecognizable mass. The few warriors who remained launched themselves at the enemy, despite his commands, only to be swatted down as if they were of no more importance than flies. Not a single man of the Gaia tribe remained standing. Even his fattest warriors lay broken and unmoving on the muddy ground. It had happened so quickly. Behind the ranks of locked shields, he saw warriors wielding two-handed hammers begin to smash down the half-built idols and altar stones. He cried out. Helms turned, and he caught sight of his reflection in their mirror-bright features. The men moved towards him in a tight semicircle, shields at the ready. Though the lightning had faded, its glow yet remained. Grelch could not bear to look at them directly, and was forced to raise an arm over his face. They shone with a light and a heat that seemed to burn the very core of him. As he did so, the maggots in his flesh shriveled one by one and fell away from him, and he experienced a wave of fear, an emotion he had not felt in years, wash over him. Were these men the reason that the dirge horn had sounded? Were Cradderblob and the other servants of Nurgle now locked in combat with more of these pitiless invaders? What sort of beings were these, who could kill so cruelly and swiftly? What sort of beings arrived in a crack of thunder and a flash of lightning?
Enemies, sweet Grelch, and far beyond you, the voice of his master rumbled.
Grelch felt the sadness those words carried. He would join his maggots soon, and join his warriors, broken and dead in the mire.
Dead, yes, but not forgotten, my best, brightest Bubo, his master gurgled. Grandfather watches you, Grelch. Show him how brave you are, my servant. Open the way for me, and join Grandfather in the Eternal Garden, where all is green and growing and life waxes fat. He waits for you, waits to take you in his arms. Hurry, Grelch! Hurry!
Grelch felt his fears evaporate as the words of his master, his mentor, filled his skull to bursting. Then he bounded ponderously down the slick stones with axe in hand. Grelch sensed, without knowing how, that only a bit more effort was required. He would show Grandfather how brave he was, and he would dwell in the garden in wonder and glory forevermore. That was all he wanted, all he had ever wanted.
I do not know you, murderess, but you will know me, he rasped. I am Grelch, lord of the Gaia tribe, and master of the Gaia Tract Fen. When you go back to whatever place spawned you, tell them it was I who sent you. Tell them that Grandfather Nurgle sends his greetings sure as sure.
He lifted his plague axe in both hands and held it across his body, taking comfort in the weapon's weight, stepping towards the silvery ranks of the enemy.
Come on, then. Send me to the garden if you can, he spat. Only a little more blood, he thought. Hadn't intended it to be mine, but well, you can't have everything.
Grandfather never asked more than a man could give. One of the warriors stepped forward. He was tall, taller almost than Grelch, though he lacked the latter's sheer bulk. His baroque armor shimmered strangely in the light of the witch fires, and he raised the hammer he carried in what Grelch thought must be a salute. In his other hand he carried a sword, its blade etched with sigils that burned Grelch's eyes. Grelch spat at the warrior's feet.
Tell me your name, he demanded. Grandfather likes to know the names of the souls I send him.
The warrior cocked his head, blue eyes alert behind the unmoving, too perfect features of his mask. He lowered his weapon. Gardas, he said. His voice was like a clear peal from a great bell. It struck Grouch's belly like a fist and climbed his spine into his brain where it reverberated, much as the thunder had earlier. Grelch shook his head to clear it.
Grandfather, give me strength, he thought. guard us,
he said, chewing over the syllables.
Well, guard us, a pleasure to meet you.
Then, with a roar, Grouch swung his axe up and around and launched himself at the warrior. The grandfather's garden awaited.